Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Hey everyone, and welcome to our first podcast of 2019. And before I go any further, Happy New Year to all of you. Right, tonight I got my podcast brother back and my podcast sister back. So the three of us are going to have a good old chat about our wonderful defending being part of it. Good afternoon or evening, wherever you are, Miss Sophie.
There's nothing more than starting a new year with sarcasm.
Me?
PG.
Sarcastic?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. I thought you were going to start the new year with different resolutions. Or are they revolutions or evolutions?
I don't know. Resolution I'm going to do is to stay exactly the goddamn same.
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw! Happy New Year, darling.
Happy New Year to you too.
Kev, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, PG, and to you, Soccer Diva. Happy New Year.
Yes.
Happy New Year, Super Kev. Super, Super Kev. Super, Super Kev. Super, Super Kev. Super Kevin Campbell.
She
Get
loves
in
doing
there.
That. She just loves it, and we have to listen to her dulcet tones. So, Super Kev, you had a good Christmas and New Year?
Yeah, I had a lovely one. It was really nice, actually, because I met up with a load of different people. I met up with mum and dad. I'd done the family thing. I met up with loads of friends that I've not seen in ages. Met up with you guys after an Arsenal Burnley game, as well. And that was the London part. And then I came back up north, and then I had my other Christmas up here, which was lovely. Shirley, who you know is a good friend of mine, PG.
Yeah, she's lovely, Shirley.
Met up with Shirley and had a few jars with Shirley and had a really good time with it. It was my son was 19 on the 28th.
Oh.
So that was really good.
Happy birthday to your son.
Happy birthday.
Yep, to Tyrese. And he actually got on the pitch. Could you believe it?
What, actually on his birthday?
Against Bolton.
Oh, wow.
He got on the pitch against Bolton.
Yeah.
And for 15 minutes. And he didn't get on today, but I was working. I was doing the Everton game, which was easily forgettable. So let's move on.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I was up early, so I did stay in on New Year's night. I went out early doors. I had a few drinks with Dom and the guys in O'Shea's.
Mm.
And then I was home for like 6:30, 7:00. So I saw the New Year in at home, just chilled out because I had an early call to be at Goodison Park.
Yeah, I saw your picture of Goodison actually. And it's really funny because obviously on our Twitter, you've got Everton fans and Arsenal fans. And a few Everton fans said to me, because I said, good luck, hope your other team wins.
Yeah.
And a couple of Everton fans said to me, we've always liked Arsenal.
I said, yeah, that's right.
It's so nice. It's nice to have a little bit of, you know, banter with other clubs that don't actually hate
camaraderie.
You. Yes, that don't actually hate you, which is nice.
There's always been a lot of respect there.
Yeah, a lot of fans respect Arsenal and always have. It's just certain ones never will, which is totally understandable. Talking about a club that does respect us, this leads nicely on to Liverpool. Unfortunately, we do have to cover this. Tiff and I and Sophie did a pod, didn't we, babes, a couple of weeks ago. And
you
both had a go at me for predicting that it would either be 7-0 or 5-1 or 4-1. I said, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know if we had a go at
you were like, whatever. And I don't, and that's the first loss I've ever predicted since, Well,
Did I give you credit? Did I not give you credit for it?
I'd rather have not been publicly. Obviously.
Yes, you liked kind of being right.
No, you predicted Liverpool.
You did.
You predicted Liverpool.
So you wanted to be right. Emirates.
Are you mental that I never predicted we'd lose? I haven't done a prediction video that says we lose.
No, she didn't. No, not the Emirates.
She predicted that we'd lose.
No, I didn't.
I think what she said was she's in her heart, but eventually she couldn't put it out there.
No, because I didn't feel
prediction
it.
Video that
but
was,
this,
right,
1,000,000%, I wasn't even shocked. I was shocked it was only 5-1.
It was our own doing, though. Honestly, it was our own doing after we conceded the first two goals in such a short space of time.
I was talking to a friend of mine that was just walking into Anfield, a Scouser, and I said to him, this is what's going to happen. We will score first. He went, you won't score against us. No one does. I went, no, we will score first, and then we will capitulate. I could not believe how right I was. I mean, seriously, it's embarrassing. I actually don't really want to talk about it because I just
feel...
Well,
then let's not.
But it's
just
embarrassing.
Because why are we going to regurgitate something everybody's dissected from here to eternity? Okay, you know what? Kev and I went into this game with optimism. You know why, right? Because it wasn't Wenger going into this game. It was Emery. It was a new management. It was a new manager operating under a new system, taking risks with players. So, you know what? We wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, Liverpool were going to or have to lose at some point because to go invincible, we know how difficult that is. So it's not delusional to have gone into this game thinking we could have got a draw, which is what we both predicted.
It is delusional. If you'd have watched our defence, it is delusional.
No.
The worst defence in the league against the best attack. That is delusional.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. It's not delusional and it's not naive. Every single time before kickoff, when my team goes out, I'm always going to believe they can win a game, right? Now, my prediction would have been delusional if I said we would have won 5-1. My prediction would have been delusional if I'd have said we want to win 3-0. I went for a 3-3. Why? Because, yes, we had more fit players when we played them earlier in the season at home, but knowing Emery can set up and be smart in terms of how he sets up against teams would be good, but I would have been good, but he didn't. And in the end, Emery cost us that game, not the team, and the defense were poor and they are rubbish, and we all agree on that. But not starting Lacazette and at least sending some type of signal to Klopp and instilling some type of fear where they would have had to adapt just a little bit in their tactics. We never made them adapt at all. So they just played their game and we played into their hands. And after the third goal went in, it was over.
Kev, did you really believe we were going to get a draw?
Listen, I prefer to be positive when I'm giving.
No. Let's not be positive. Be realistic.
No, just listen.
Kev, man up, Kev. Come on, man. Back me up here.
Let me finish here. I'd much prefer to be positive. I know it can go pear-shaped to Anfield. Jesus. They've been the best team this season. Let's be real. But I just wanted Arsenal to get a point out of this game. I said 1-1. Soccer Diva said 3-3. If we got a draw, I would have been over the moon.
Mm.
The fact that we got whooped did not surprise me at all. It didn't surprise me because look, you were being real about, you know, we could get spanked. You were being real. But me and Soccer Diva, we prefer to err on the side of positivity, not caution. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But what it does, it magnifies our squad's problems that we've known has been our Achilles heel all season. We've got away with it against lesser teams, but against this team, we got what was coming to us. And because Christmas had come early, we were giving away Christmas presents and New Year's presents all at once. It was Keystone Cops meets the Anthill Mob. It was a joke in defence.
But you're saying it like I didn't want us to get a point. Like you.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that.
No, he's not.
What I said, PG, is this. You were being real. We err on the side of positivity, but you were being real about it because of we were decimated with injuries, et cetera, et cetera. That's all. I'm not saying that you didn't want us to get. Of course you
deep in our hearts, deep in our hearts, we knew in our souls that we were probably going to lose this game. But when it came to prediction time, we erred on the side of positivity, based on the things that I said previously, that we've shown we can defend against them, that we've shown that we can come back against them, that we've shown all of these things. Granted, we don't show them often enough at Anfield. However, with Emery now being in the driver's seat, for me, that's what made me completely go in that direction with my prediction, because I thought that it was a moment for him. I feel like he missed a beat. I think that he could have had a signature kind of result, even if it was a draw. Everyone would have thought, wow, okay, look at the way Arsenal prepared and stuff. And I just think that by not starting Lacazette, we never put any doubt in Liverpool. We never gave them any reason to worry, because they always felt like if it was just Aubameyang, they could contain him, they could control him, especially with, you know, the fact that they have only conceded 7 goals all season. And I just think Emery played into their hands a little bit, and he has to take accountability for that, Amanda.
I agree.
I disagree with that.
I agree on the Lacazette, but I disagree that it's his fault, because he put 11 players on that pitch. I don't know which one actually turned up, if I'm honest. I think Torreira had his worst game. After all that worrying about getting a yellow card, it might have been better if he did. He needs a rest for a start. Aubameyang is atrocious. His stats that day are beyond atrocious. He had no supply.
He had nothing.
No, he didn't.
Torreira did have his worst game, and Aubameyang was really bad. Wait a second, Azil
is injured. I don't care what anyone says, he's injured. So that can't be his fault. The Lacazette thing is curious, and we go today. If we move on, well, we'll talk about Fulham in a minute, but I don't know. Kev being an ex-player may see this differently, but I had this thing with Wenger. He chose the team. The buck stops with him, but he still has to, you know, he's still got 11 professionals on that field. We didn't have to play that badly.
Different rule if it's not Wenger.
Hold on a second. I questioned Emery on the weekends. I questioned Lacazette. I questioned the subs. I've done it today. I've questioned it about Fulham. My tweet is out there. Loads and loads of people disagree with me. I question it. It doesn't mean Wenger is a different case. That went on for years and years. This is, let's talk about it. Kev, what do you disagree with Sophie on?
I disagree with Sophie that it's, Emery got it wrong. He's picked a team to go out there to try and win the game. That's what he's done. The bottom line is just this, whether we like it or not. The players ain't good enough.
Yeah.
The players are not good enough to stand up and be counted at Anfield.
Yeah.
That's just the crux of the issue. And as a striker like Aubameyang, his stats would be bad because he gets no supply.
Yeah.
Liverpool swamp you. And they've done it to Manchester City last season, where they swamped them and battered them. And they've done it to us this time. If you can't stand up and control the game and have strong defenders who know how to defend and can defend as a unit, you're going to be in trouble at Anfield. That's for sure. And
of course the players aren't good enough. Guys, come on. We've known the players aren't good enough for a long, long time. And when we're on a 22 unbeaten run, no one was saying the players weren't good enough. Like, we can't have our cake and eat it too.
We did.
Emery,
hold on a second.
We've always said, Sophie.
No, but the rhetoric and the narrative has changed greatly now in that, the players aren't good enough. No, what we were saying before was the deficiencies in defence. Okay, Aubameyang had a bad game yesterday. The poor guy can't do it on his own. The one player who he sparks off and gets fed off the most and the best was on the bench. Emery made that decision, not Lacazette, not Aubameyang.
Okay, so we can criticise Emery.
Then you make
Emery.
Captain. Wait, then in a previous game, you make captain of a player that you want to sell. Okay. And then another one that you don't believe in. Listen, I'm behind the coach. I'm behind Emery. But as Kev says, let's call it as we see it. Right. He's made some bad decisions along the way. And, you know, he played Lichtsteiner, who was so poor, like so poor. He needs to be more prepared as a coach. You can't go through the Christmas period and be making the selections that you're making and trying to put square pegs in round holes when they're not working.
Sophie, you got to remember, Unai Emery's never had a Christmas period.
I don't care, Kev.
But you might not care. But he's never been in the Premier League and he's never had a Christmas.
Everyone gave Pep Guardiola a hard time in his first season at Manchester City when he failed miserably and didn't win a trophy for the first time in his career. It's hard. It's tough.
Yeah, but he'd never had a Christmas period and he'd never had the issues of a Christmas
period. What's Steve Bould doing? Okay, can we please?
Let's not move on. Let's stick to this.
No, let's not. What about Steve Bould?
Hold on one second.
Let him make the point. Go on.
Talking about, we've changed the narrative. No, we haven't. The difference is this. When we're on a 22-game unbeaten run and we play Liverpool at home, we're all proud of the team because they've done so well. We still could have lost that game, but we've done well to come back in that game. But always the biggest test is when you play the big boys away from home.
Mm.
That is the acid test. Yeah, we got tested at the Emirates, but that's our home ground. Any team worth their salt who can go away from home at one of the big teams and defend properly and battle and get a result, that's when you know you're doing something. And we have not shown any inkling that we can do that just yet. So all we right, call Kev. Achilles heel when it's the 22-game unbeaten run, but we get whooped at Anfield 5-1 because we're giving Christmas presents away. It's just because
what you said was that Emery hasn't managed during Christmas in the Premier League before, and he hasn't. You're correct on this. But there are people at that club, and I'm going to name another guy that's come up on this podcast before where you and I and Amanda have disagreed or agreed on. Steve Bould. He has been involved in the Premier League for years and years and years. We talk about how there are so many fundamentally important components that...
Hello?
Sophie's gone. She probably got a call.
Right, we'll just carry on. So we've lost.
So what's your thoughts on that, Amanda?
We
know where she's going with that chat.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I agree with Sophie on this. I don't know what he's doing there. No one knows what he's doing there, Kevin. Again, you know, look, we have got serious. Oh, hello. You're back.
Okay, so hold on one second. Please let me finish this point, right? So Steve Bould, right? So I apologize for losing you guys. But Steve Bould, okay, has now been given an opportunity to work with Emery. And before, people were saying to us, Lee Dixon on this podcast, other Arsenal players across the board, Steve Bould couldn't ever coach, was never given an opportunity to say anything in training. Well, what about now? Everyone talks about our defence being so bad and the worst in the Premier League. What is this guy doing at the club? He was your teammate. Like, what is he doing? He was part of the best defense ever. And you want to talk about Emery not having experience during the holiday season playing football in England? What is this guy doing? What are we paying him for?
All right, Kev, what's your view? You know I agree with Sophie on this. So what's your view?
Look, I could look to teach you. I could coach you. But if you can't do what I'm asking you to do, how can you blame me? And if Steve Bould is coaching that defence and the defence are not taking it on board and they can't implement it, how is that Steve Bould's fault? It's just that they're not good enough to do it or they do not want to do it. It's that simple. You can coach and you could teach as much as you like, but if the guys can't implement it on the pitch, they're wasting his time.
Okay,
I'm afraid to say.
Okay, so who?
How many defenders?
No, so hold on a second.
How many defenders?
Yeah. So, what's he doing there then? Who employs him, Kev? Because his boss, he's not doing his job properly. Whether he's got the right defenders or not, he's not doing his job. So maybe we need to get a man in that can do the job.
No, but hold on a minute, Amanda. How is he not doing his job?
Because
if he's the manager will be there and he's taking the players and he's putting them through their paces. Yes. On the pitch, on the training pitch. So everybody understands what they're doing. Right. But when it comes to a Saturday, they look all over the place, don't they? And at times, I mean, we're going to get onto today's game, but at times they look like they're strangers at times. That isn't Steve Bolt's fault. That's the players are not taking on board what he's trying to teach them.
Is that
take
what
it
you...
from me. I know.
Yeah,
this is coaching. And the best coaches get their point across to the players, but the players are the ones who have to implement it.
Do you remember when people laughed at Pep's defence in his first season? Do you remember how people laughed about that? And then they went out and they bought quality defenders. Do you remember how people laughed at Liverpool? And then they went out and spent money on Van Dijk. And people laughed at Liverpool for spending so much money on Van Dijk and Alisson. Like, people laughed at them. And Arsenal need to take note of these things, because the coaching staff and people like Steve Bolt are not helping the defence. And that is their job. OK, I'm sorry, Kev. I respect what he's done as a footballer. But in terms of being an effective coach at Arsenal Football Club, it is not happening. He could have undertaken a new lease of life under Emery here and made some major improvements. And yes, we've had injuries, but we are no better off this season than we were last season defensively. And unless we do get... Bastagopoulos is not the same player.
Yes, but he's
Kolasinac had half a season. Or two. Come on, Sophie. It's the same players.
Right, both of you, listen. Okay, we can argue this.
Who haven't improved.
Sophie, let me finish. Both of you, I get both points, but I'm just going to say this. We can't judge Emery and Bold until we've had a few transfer windows, that's for sure. I don't know what Bold's doing there, Kev. You know how I feel about this. I feel the same as Sophie. It's continuously getting worse. What we saw Saturday, you're correct, a complete shit show. It was embarrassing. You know, my Scouse mates are going nuts about Firmino's goal. I thought it was... I could have scored that. They were on the floor, our defenders. It wasn't goal of the season. He just went through defenders that were on the floor. It's basic principles. But let's move on from this, okay? We can argue about Steve Bold, and we have done for about a year. What we need to chat to is now come to the Fulham game today. I was at the game, so both of you watched it?
Yes.
Kev?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay, so the atmosphere wasn't too bad, considering... I think most people are behind Emery. I'm certainly not. And, I quite like the team he started with. I've got no issues with it. I like he played Lacazette. What I don't get, and I want you to let me finish on this one, is why he keeps either not starting Lacazette or pulling him off. When there are other players on that pitch, he pulled him off, Kev, at 2-1. We weren't 4-1 up. Okay, he made the right decision. We ended up 4-1. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know that at all. He pulls off, this is how much I love Lacazette. He pulls Lacazette off, the ground boo. For the first time in Emery's reign, I didn't boo, but the ground booed. Because I did not want Lacazette to go off. He looks at the crowd and he says, stop. He looks at his teammates and he says, get on with it. And what a professional that is. He is pissed off. We can see him every time he goes and sits down. He's fuming. I love that, because that shows the team spirit. And we know how much he loves Aubameyang. We know that. I don't understand. And I need to understand, Kev, from an ex-professional footballer, what is he doing with Lacazette? It's my one bugbear with him.
Well, what he's doing, he's only really got two strikers. That's all he's got, is two strikers. And there's two things here. There was times where Aubameyang was on the bench and Lacazette was starting. And there's times where they both start and he pulls Lacazette off, or Lacazette starts on the bench. So both strikers are getting different type of minutes. But he's sharing it out a little more. But the thing that he saw Fulham made adjustments and then pulled the goal back. And it looked like they were coming through the centre of the midfield. So what he needed to do, he needed to shore up that position. That's why he brought Lacazette off and put Ramsey on. And as it worked out, Arsenal go on to score three and four, the third and the fourth. That's why he makes those adjustments.
Soph?
I completely understand what Kev's saying. Tactically, in the end, it worked out. But I think we've also seen that it hasn't worked out in some cases. What's the difference between Iwobi and Laka in that Iwobi defends better, right, Kev? Iwobi defends better. Is that the argument?
Well, yeah, Iwobi's more of a wide player so than Lacazette. You know, Lacazette will do it, but he's not a wide player. So you've got a wide player there used to doing that work. So he's not going to want to mess with that because they weren't killing us down Iwobi's side.
But today wasn't Aubameyang playing more down the middle and Laka was playing a little bit more on the flank, right? So you could argue that Emery could have taken Iwobi off and kept Laka on.
Which is what I said.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here in terms of trying to understand why in today's game, why Lacazette, because I think with all that you've said tactically in terms of how it worked out and it did work out, he could have pulled a different player and had the same results.
Can I just say something though? Sorry. Aubameyang played out wide today a little bit though. So that's why he was kept on. I don't really understand the Lacazette stuff. I still don't get it, Kev. But anyway,
but remember, where did Aubameyang go when Lacazette went off?
Yeah, but that was the fourth goal, right?
No.
Goal.
When Lacazette was taken off, where did Aubameyang go to play?
More central.
Right. So it's one or the other.
I know. It's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they play so well together.
No, but why
exactly.
At Dortmund?
I want them to play together.
But Kev, at Dortmund, Aubameyang was so flexible. A lot of the times, of course, he played in that role down the middle, but with the talent that they had at Dortmund, especially in the Champions League and stuff, a lot of the times he played off, you know, and why I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't agree that they can't play together. I don't, because they're both talented enough to play as the main striker, but they're also talented enough with their feet, their distribution and their quick thinking to play a little bit off. I don't agree with that. When you have that kind of talent, think about some of the greatest striking duos in Premier League history, or even some of the most effective duos. A lot of them were versatile and they had that versatility to kind of be able to do both. And as a striker, Kev, are you telling me what was your favorite position?
Striker through the middle.
Yeah, but at the same time, when you were asked to play a little bit off, how did that make you feel? Does that affect your confidence?
No, not at all. Look, when you play striker, it isn't just you play through the middle and that's it.
You've got to move.
You've got to be able to move. You've got to understand the system and you've got to understand where your teammates are going to be where you have to counteract their movement, okay? This is what Emery's doing. Emery, at times, he's played them together. At times, he's played Lacazette wide. At times, he's played Aubameyang wide and Lacazette through the middle. At times, he's played one up the middle, one to the side, and maybe Ozil in the hole. He's trying different things with them. But I don't think Arsenal have the right personnel to get the best out of them just yet.
But when they do, they can be Dwight York and Andy Cole.
Well, they could be Lacazette and Aubameyang.
But they will be. But I'm giving you an example of a partnership where there was a mix and match.
But the problem is, you see, you've got to look at all of the components. You've got Giggs on the left, Beckham on the right. You've got.
But Scott, that's what we're saying, right? Get Zaha. Get Zaha got, on.
Yeah,
Zaha
but you've
on
got,
one side. We need reinforcements. He doesn't have the right players, Kev.
Yeah,
you're right. He doesn't.
And that's it. It's the supporting cast that you need.
Right.
To make it work. Them supporting cast, because look, there were certain balls today that could have been played, but were delayed and got played and easily got cut out for these strike pair. This dry pair needs service. If you're not going to service them, what's the point of them being
100% here? Agree. Guendouzi's passing us sometimes today. As much as I love his industry, oh, my God, it was so poor. It was so poor.
Look, at the end of the day, you can't knock the manager now because he did pull him off and we did win 4-1. He brings Ramsey on and then the crowd sings, sign him up, sign him up. I'm very upset about this Ramsey situation more than I've been for quite a few years about a player, to be honest. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know if this is all Cronkay in the board. I just don't know. I don't think, if I'm honest, I think we've got a completely different situation with a manager here. I don't think he's in control like Wenger was, if I'm honest. I think he just deals with the team and that's it. I don't think he does anything else, transfers, anything.
PG? Do you want to know what's going on?
Go on.
Now you can see a lot of the big European teams flexing their muscles for Ramsey, right?
Yeah.
A lot of them are saying Juventus and PSG and all these Bayern Munich and all these guys because they rate Ramsey and they could get Ramsey for a pack of cards, right? They could get him for next to nothing.
Yeah.
So Arsenal, as far as I know, probably looking at it, they didn't want to pay him the money. They're going to start culling those big wages because they want more parity within that squad. They're going to want players who are not real superstars per se, but they're going to be able to get players that fit the system for a lot less, which probably one of those players could be free wages. Three sets of wages. And that's the way they're going to do it. Because that squad needs beefing up big time.
Yeah.
Because it's not strong enough. It is not strong enough.
Do you know, I watched it today and I felt a little bit bored, to be honest. I felt just a little bit, probably because it's New Year's Day and I'm always like this on New Year's Day at football. I felt, you know what, if he could just get a defence... You know, the midfield and the attack are fine. It's there. It's just such a shit show at the back. It's so frustrating. I know we have injuries. I know that. But to be fair, and I have to say this now, we didn't have a great defence to start with. It wasn't like we had the back four at Anfield. Is it the back four
exactly.
That you used to play with? So
exactly.
it wasn't great anyway. Anyway, listen, I don't want to bore everyone moaning about
Amanda,
our defence because...
We were having a WhatsApp conversation with Kev the other night and I said, why are Arsenal fans upset about signing Cahill? Is Cahill really worse than what we have right now?
We don't know.
You're talking about...
We don't know.
No, we do know. Trust me.
Well,
we
actually,
do know.
If you signed me, I wouldn't be as bad. But even Kev could play in defence. But
telling you, mate. Oh, God.
I know. It just looks, you know. And also, all right, so I want to discuss another player. If Cahill comes in, great. Let's give him a chance. Let's hope he's better than what we've got. We don't know if he's coming in. It's paper talk, isn't it? But I was, I put a tweet out today about Sokratis. I quite like him. And I said, if he had a Virgil van Dijk next to him, he's got potential. Little did I know that the boy's already 30. I didn't even realise, to be honest. But anyway, that's my mistake.
Did you see the tackle he made today?
Yeah.
Did you see the pace that he had? He's 30.
That's what
but
I
he's
said.
Quick.
I thought he's
right.
Got big
my
potential.
My little kebab can play. If they can get a...
Well, that's what
get
I think.
Koulibaly.
Yes, thank you, Kev. You took the name
get
and the player... Get the boy in.
But I have to tell you something. I have to tell you something, though. When I did that tweet, quite a few people don't rate him, even if he had a great defender next to him. What do you think of him, Kev?
I think Sokratis is a good player.
Mm.
He will be better with another
That's what I said,
top
yeah.
player beside him.
Mm.
Because Sokratis is a leader, but the player he needs with him has to have pace and have good ability, because you look at when Rob Holding played with him, they looked fine. That was probably the best our defence has looked at times when Rob Holding was beside him. I just think having Koulibaly's world class. Having a world class player beside you will make you better. And Sokratis, for me, has been the better of our centre halves, obviously. With Holding's done fine. But Sokratis has been the best of our centre halves to me that we've had this season.
Well, that's what
Let me ask you this, Amanda. Let me ask you this. When we were on our unbeaten run and Sokratis was playing with Bellerin and Holding, and when Kolasinac was fit or not, but when whoever was filling in for him, was anyone complaining about Sokratis? No. Right? Yesterday, there was a moment when I can't remember which player it was. It was today with Fulham. They got really clear. I think it was Sessegnon. He was running along the right and Sokratis made the sprint and he slid in and made this really great tackle. Manchester City defenders, Liverpool defenders, the enhancement of those two teams is because of pairing players together and creating a back line that complements each other. You can't single out players and make them the fall guy for a system that just isn't working because you don't have the personnel that can fulfill those roles. You just can't. And people underestimated Rob Holding and the good season that he was having, because since he's been out, we've capitulated.
Yes, I mean, Rob Holding's a massive miss, but also Bellerin. The minute I saw Bellerin go off at Southampton, that was it for me. I just thought, oh, we're doomed. You know, you can't miss two players like that. Anyway, okay, so we win 4-1 today. It takes a little bit off the edge of Saturday. The title race is definitely hotting up. You keep saying that Liverpool can't be the Invincibles. I've got this awful, awful feeling. I've said it for weeks that not only are they going to win it, they're going to be the Invincibles. I don't have a problem with Liverpool winning it. I have a problem with them winning it without losing a match. I know Kevin feels completely different, and I know most Arsenal fans do. But let me tell you, Tottenham won again. They're still putting the pressure on, which is what they're famous for. I don't think they're going to Spurs it up. I don't think Liverpool are going to Liverpool it up either. I think that if City don't win on Thursday night, they play Liverpool at home. I think it's Liverpool's title. I'd rather that than Tottenham's title, of course. So I put a tweet out to Twitterland this weekend. Just fancied asking what your best and worst game was from Jan the 1st, 2018 until yesterday. So, Sophie, mine was Nottingham Forest 4-2. We lost in the FA Cup, our first round, and Tottenham at home in December. Quite a few agreed with me. There was a few other choices, but what's yours, Soph?
What were some of the choices? I'm just really curious, like, what games came up?
Atletico Madrid, the semi. Can't remember. You tell me yours and stuff, and I'll try and remember
final,
what I said.
The worst for me was the final. I might take people too far back, but I thought it was really disappointing. It was this year, wasn't it? Don't tell me I'm going crazy, but the Carling Cup final against Manchester City.
Yes, that was mentioned. That was mentioned.
That was really disappointing. We were so bad in that game. We didn't, you know, we had proven before that we could beat them, and I thought that was really super disappointing. Yeah. I think collectively the 22 beaten the unbeaten run for only one reason. It united Arsenal fans and it got people behind the new manager. And I know that it's not one single game, but it's a collective moment that I think was really important for the club. And I think that if Emery had gotten off to a bad start, we would have seen a lot of toxicity. So for me, the fact that he's been able to do that, regardless of who you're playing against, after inheriting quite a mess, you have to give credit to the man.
PG, before you ask for one good one and one bad one, what's all this 22 business going on?
Did you hear how I encapsulated it, Mr. Campbell?
Excuse me, but you're not answering the question.
He's literal.
Right, so it is literal. Your worst one was Man City and your best one is...
Fine. I'll take the derby 4-2.
Yeah,
it was a great night.
I don't think anyone would. Right, Kev.
Well, I'm going to start with the best.
Yeah.
The best one was beating the Spuds 4-2.
Yep.
That was sweet.
That was what most people chose. I have to be honest. Yeah.
Because they were giving it plenty.
Yeah.
Right. And we sorted them right out. But my worst was Spurs at Wembley last season, losing 1-0 when we had chances. Lacazette went for a difficult time after that.
Oh God, that chance at the end.
Yeah,
oh.
Do you remember?
Why don't I remember
God,
this?
That was bad.
That for me was tough to take. It really was tough to take.
I felt bad for Lacazette during that time.
No one on Twitter brought that one up, actually. It was normally City, Madrid, or
the striker
Forest.
Did, Amanda.
Probably
the striker
forgot it,
did.
Yes,
because,
I've forgotten
it. We didn't turn up.
There's a shock, eh? We didn't turn up.
Away from home at one of the so-called big boys.
Well, okay, that's interesting. And if anyone wants to give us their view, because you might not have seen my tweet, please do. But most people have said Tottenham for the best game, I have to say. Your one hasn't come up with a Tottenham away, but the Man City and the Forest one did. Let's just hope, eh? We haven't lost a game in 2019, so I'm pretty happy about it.
We're on a run.
One out of one. We're doing well. Right, a very quick chat about what's coming up for us, yeah? We've got Blackpool away Saturday night in the FA Cup. Now, being realistic and being positive, I do think we're going to win. I can't really, you know, there's nothing in me that says it's not. More concerned, actually, if I'm honest, with what comes up after, because then we got West Ham away and Chelsea at home. Chelsea's a big game for us, massive game for us. With this defence, West Ham aren't doing too badly. So I want some predictions, okay? And be literal. So if Blackpool away, what's your prediction?
What are you trying to say? Like, don't go on?
Yeah. You lived in La La Land too long. That's all I'm going
to
say.
That's not very nice. Like, people like to articulate and form opinions.
I've asked you a question. What is your score for Blackpool away?
I'm kind of offended. And now I just think Arsenal fans should go to Blackpool and have a good time and we'll win 6-2.
6-2. You mean 2-6. Fine. And West Ham. Let's do West Ham in case we don't pod next week.
4-2 Arsenal.
2-4. Fine. Kev?
I'm here.
What do you reckon, Blackpool?
We're gonna beat Blackpool 3-1. And we're gonna beat West Ham 2-1.
Okay. Me for Blackpool. I don't think it's gonna be as easy as you think. I think it's gonna be I can't see a clean sheet. I think 2-1. I'm gonna go Blackpool 1, Arsenal 2. And for West Ham, you ain't going to like me on this one. I think it's going to be 2-2. They will raise it for us and they know our defence is absolutely pants, honestly. And I work with West Ham people, so we have to not lose. Oh, no. No. I'll have it all day, every day if we lose that one. Okay, so it's the end of year. What do you want to do, Soph? What do you want to ask us?
I think we should rate our players so far for 2018. If you had to pick your top three positives or your top three players, who would they be?
You asking me?
Well, I'm asking both of you.
Who goes first? Go on, PG. You go first.
Okay. Top three players for me. Torreira, Aubameyang, and Lacazette.
I have the same. But not in that order.
I've not done an order. Sorry.
Just done the three of them.
Okay. Right. So probably, that's tough then. What's your order?
My order was.
Well, Torreira's been the best signing without doubt.
But Aubameyang's the top goal scorer. So it's hard, isn't it?
But Torreira for me would be top.
Yeah.
Second would be, Lacazette.
Okay.
And third would be Aubameyang. Although he's top scorer, I think Lacazette makes the team tick a little bit more than Aubameyang.
Yeah.
That's why.
Soph?
Mm. I think if we could match Aubameyang's talent in defence, we'd have an amazing team because look who he's keeping up with scoring goals, Aguero and Salah. So for me, Aubameyang operating in a team that is deficient in talent, number one, number two, Torreira, number three, Lacazette, and he needs a little bit more respect in terms of what he brings to the table.
So number one was Aubameyang for you?
Definitely.
Okay. Well, I'm sort of, I'm Torreira first, but I'm Aubameyang second and Lacazette third. But it's tough because Lacazette does bring more, but Lacazette has given a couple of goals away that have been quite important as well. I think, look, I love both of them on the pitch. I think we've got a bright future ahead if he brings in a couple of defenders in the next 24 hours. No pressure, but we need them. We need them before West Ham.
I've got a question for you, ladies. How many players do you think we need as a squad until from between now and the start of next season? How many players?
I'd say
a number on it.
If I could, I'd say four.
Yeah, of course, if you could, yeah.
Four.
Five.
You know what I think?
Gum.
Eight.
I thought you were going to laugh at me with four.
No.
We
need eight players. Remember, these are starters and squad. We need eight players.
Have you identified all who those players are?
We definitely need four defenders.
We should do it on our next pod.
We need four defenders.
Well, I said four defenders. That's what I'm going on. Yeah.
If each one of us was manager and we could make eight transfers, who would those transfers be? We should do it on the next pod. And we should ask our listeners to join in as well because they love this stuff.
4-3-1 it would be.
Okay.
4-3-1.
Four defenders, three midfielders. That's including wide men. Winger or two. And a striker, another striker.
Are you getting a left back, right? You're getting a left back and two centre backs?
Yep. And a right back.
And a right back to cover for Bellerin.
Yep.
Or to push him.
Yep, to push him.
All right, and then obviously a defensive midfielder or a creative midfielder, Santi Cazorla. Who's Santi Cazorla?
No, I think what we need is we need some legs in that midfield. Somebody who is going to be able to pick that ball up and run. Run with it. Somebody different. Somebody
like Isco?
Isco's good, or a big, powerful. Because I think we lack a bit of power in there.
Like a Loftus-Cheek?
Yeah, somebody like that. You know, I think Torreira's great in there. I'm still not sold on him. I think he's done well at times this season. But when it comes up against the big boys, I think there's a lot to be desired, leaves a lot to be desired.
Would you like Dembélé from Barcelona?
I'd love him, of course. I'd love him.
On the wing, one of the flanks, you know, playing in. Yeah.
Definitely.
Amanda, I think it'll be a fun show to do. The next one when we do is to January transfer window, but also going into the next season. Like, what does our squad look like? What our 11 looks like? I think that would be fun.
Right. Any other business, you two?
Yes. I'd like to just say to all the people who have supported us throughout this year, a big thank you and a happy new year. And I hope it's a happy, healthy and prosperous 2019 for all us Gooners and every other fan that supports us, because you ladies have been fantastic, and it's a pleasure working on these pods with you, and I'm sure everybody will wish you a happy new year as well. That's me.
Thanks, Super Kev. Thank you. Very good, Super Kev.
And it was lovely to see you last week.
Very nice. Lovely seeing you too, especially on your Sambuca.
I wasn't on Sambuca, and you know that.
Yeah, it's all right when you drink.
No, I wasn't on Sambuca, and I wasn't recording
a pub.
That's for sure.
Never.
We did record, Amanda.
Yes, you did record. Hello.
Message, you
Pot
did record.
Calling kettle black.
We
Jeez.
Did not record a podcast.
Telling me to trim
no,
my thoughts.
No, we recorded a message for Red Nose.
We sent it to John. How does he get a mention on every single pod we do? He's not even a Gooner yet. He still gets a bloody
Can't
mention.
Wait till he loses.
Oh,
the day they
honestly,
lose.
The
Who's going to beat them?
Oh,
Man United. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to hand it to them old
City,
school style.
City are going to do it.
Don't know, right? I Come think on, it'll be City. A draw Thursday night, but I think Tottenham could do it. So this, that won't be good. Honestly, would not be good. I'd be pleased that they're not the Invincibles, but oh my life. Listen, I'm putting it out there now. If Tottenham win it, I'm emigrating to a place where there's no signal.
They're not winning anything. Oh.
You make me laugh. They're winning.
Come on.
All right, listen. You know I've been a little bit right this season. Let's just go with you lot. I can't even cope to think about it.
It's a new year, my dear.
It's a new year.
It's
a new day.
It's a new day. It's a new life for me.
Anyway, I promised I wouldn't sing in 2019. Didn't last very long. Okay, you two. We've started with a win. Let's progress with that. Let's feel confident. Let's not talk about our atrocious defence anymore.
Amanda, can I say something?
Oh, here
I
we
know
go.
You don't want me to talk anymore because you think I've talked too much, but whatever, Kev. I mean, super Kev, can you believe how I'm being censored, bro? I mean, come on.
You censored too much.
Yeah, I know the censor.
I mean, seriously. But I loved Kev's message, and Kev's message is right and it's true. And on our WhatsApp, sometimes we have some conversations, we have live conversations and stuff. And outside of football, like, I really hope 2019 people can just get back to being kind and nice and listening and being open. And even us football fans as well, you know, football's a good example. Sometimes we get a rough time, but we can banter and have fun. And at the end of the day, we can sit in a pub, Red Nose John, damn it, you got another mention, you bugger. And Kev can sit and have a pint. Amanda, you can sit, and I have a room full of cousins in a WhatsApp group who are Tottenham fans. It's excruciating. It's painful. But at the end of the day, you know, it's about having a good time and just loving each other. And that's what I hope in 2019, that the world can just chill a little bit and not be so nasty and embrace people for who they are. You know, at the end of the day, we're human beings. There's nothing different about us other than where we came from, and that's a beautiful thing as well.
Yes, I like that. Both your messages have been fantastic.
Well said, so.
We need more niceness in the world, and we need people to respect people on social media after what I've seen the last few days. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thanks for supporting us. As Kev said, you know, Sophie and I have been together from the start of this, then our lovely pod bro joined us. And off we go. New year, 2019. Always Arsenal.